Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Honorable and respected and beloved elders, brothers and our young ones, with these few hours of Ramadan that is left, there ought to be some kind of concern in our hearts and our minds that during this auspicious sacred month there were many ibadat that we had carried out. Sometimes we don't understand and realize the greatness of an act. But in the eyes of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it is magnified and inshallah it is accepted. But now there is this question, what is the way forward? Is it that we have spent 20 or 30 Ramadans in our lives, and the month came in, and the month left, and we left the ibadat of Allah, and then Ramadan comes, and then we go on a high? Or are we going to use this Ramadan as a platform, as a springboard, for us to get closer to Allah? Is the month of Ramadan going to open the door between us and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? So there are a few aspects that we need to consider. And the first aspect, when Sahaba of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had noticed some strands of white hair on his Mubarak beard, and Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum commented, in fact one narration, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhum commented, Ya Rasulallah, you're getting old. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this particular narration said, Surah Hud is making me old. Now when we turn the pages of Surah Hud, we will find that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala speaks about a number of anbiya, a number of prophets. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, Sayyidina Hud alayhi salam, Sayyidina Salih, and it goes on and it goes on. And Allah Ta'ala gives a very simple message that these Nabis had come to Allah Ta'ala, from Allah Ta'ala to their people. They gave the simple message of Tawheed. The people rejected and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala destroyed those nations. Allah Ta'ala documented this one after the other. So there was some concern amongst some of the commentators of the Quran, that is there anything else that would have caused Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say that Surah Hud made me old? So, in this concern, one commentator of the Quran fell off to sleep, and in that sleep he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his dream. And he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this dream, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is it in Surah Hud that has made you old? So very amazingly, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the ayah that Allah revealed, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ وَلَا تَطْغَوْ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's response is one that one can try to analyze from different angles. But this is the command that Allah Ta'ala had commanded Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with, فَاسْتَقِمْ, remain steadfast. Friends, here we just stop and we ask ourselves, are we steadfast in what we do? Is this month of Ramadan just a seasonal thing? Are we Ramadani Muslims that this month has come? And again, whatever we do, whatever we have done, all of it is appreciated. But there needs to be some way forward that we carry on this, continue it for the rest of our lives, even if we cannot do it to the magnitude that we have carried it out in the month of Ramadan. Example, tilawat of the Quran. Amazingly, there are those that have said that they read one khatam every day. One person, young person, every 7 hours has been completing the Quran in the month of Ramadan. And then what happens? Comes the day of Eid. And then that Quran is never opened till the next Ramadan. Brothers, Allah make us maaf, but we need to understand, we need to realize that this can be used as a springboard. It can be used for us to gain closeness to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It can be used for us to earn the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if only we can extend what we do in the month of Ramadan out of the month of Ramadan. That is why when we look at the ayats of the Quran, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala speaks about the steadfastness, remaining steadfast, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given a great deal of reward. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. That person who says our Rabb is Allah, and the person remains steadfast on it. Allah Ta'ala gives a whole host of different glad tidings at the time of the mouth of that individual. So number one, friends, is this istiqama, that we need to remain steadfast, and we can only ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but we also need to make some intentions in our hearts and in our minds to become more steadfast on the deeds that we carry out. Then we find in one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innaka lan tada'a shay'an lillah. You do not let go, you do not leave anything for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So one is our deeds, our good deeds need to continue. And the other is our bad deeds, our ill habits. Now when we analyze this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you do not leave the slightest ill, the slightest bad, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will replace it, and Allah Ta'ala will grant better. We all will agree, and each person knows his own life, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us that much of vision that we can see our life, we can see the obedience and the disobedience of Allah Rabbul Izzat. As a matter of fact, before we go on, at the beginning of this month, there was a repeated concern about the objective of fast. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the objective of fast, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may acquire this quality of taqwa. Now we need to ask, is this taqwa within us? And there is this one gauge, إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. If you have this taqwa, If you have the quality of taqwa within you, then one benefit of taqwa, one virtue of taqwa, يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create for you a furqan. What is this furqan? It is not a device, but within the heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us a judgment, a discretion of what's right, and we do what is right, of what's incorrect, what is an act of vice, and we keep away from that act of vice. In other words, Allah Ta'ala grants us, by virtue of our fasting, our roza, Allah grants us that taqwa by which we can see what is right and we can see what is wrong. Nonetheless, coming to this hadith of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if we leave one slightest thing in our life that either earned the displeasure of Allah, or by leaving it, it earns the pleasure of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to grant us better. When we look at the examples of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, take the example of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. Allah ta'ala speaks about it in the Quran Sharif, إِذْ عُرِدَ عَلَيْهِ بِالْعَشِيِّ الصَّافِنَاتُ الْجِيَادُ. He was once, towards the end of the day, inspecting his horses that he would use to go out in jihad fi sabilillah. And around that time, according to a large number of commentators, it was a time when he would perform a nafil salah, not even a fard salah. He would perform a nafil salah. So many people have this habit that at a particular time in the day, they will perform a nafil salah for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And he got so engrossed in inspecting these horses of his that the time of that salah had lapsed. And now when he realized that I was engaged in something that kept me away from the ibadat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, what comes in his heart? According to his shariat, it was 100% a meritorious deed for him to sacrifice those horses, like how we would give sadaqah of anything else, livestock, cows, sheep, whatever. And Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam gave the command to those that were under his authority to have each and every one of these horses slaughtered, because it came in my way between me and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If we just pause here and we ask ourselves, how many are those things that come between me and my Allah? At the time of Fajr, what comes between me and Allah? Is there something that we can carry out, this deed of Sulaiman alayhi salam, that we can sacrifice? At the time of Dhuhr, what comes between me and my Allah? Is there something that I can sacrifice? Friends, we don't have to make big sacrifices. And like that on each salah time, is there something that is coming in the way that I can just move away? I can just leave out, no matter how big it may be, no matter how small it may be. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will certainly reward me. So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam had done this. And what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave him in lieu? The horses were used as a conveyance. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made the wind subservient to Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. I don't wish him to go into that miraculous thing that Allah ta'ala had given him. But friends, we can see when Allah gives, where is the wind and where is the horses? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave him much, much better. So again, coming back to us, we need to look in our lives. There are many things that come between us and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and we need to remove. And we make these small changes. We weed out these little things from our lives that come in between us and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Look at Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam. Rabbi sijnu ahabbu ilayya mimma yad'unani ilay. Yusuf alayhi salam is innocent. There is this pressure from the women of Egypt for Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam to indulge in an act that is abhorred by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And now the threat comes that if you do not indulge and if you do not do what is required of you to do by the command of this woman, then you will be imprisoned. Now a free person, an innocent person, makes this dua to Allah Ta'ala, Rabbi sijnu ahabbu ilayya mimma yad'unani ilay. Oh Allah, I am prepared to give up, again to leave something. I am prepared to give up my freedom, but I am not prepared to indulge and I'm not prepared to disobey you in this act and in this deed. And that was Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. He leaves us this lesson. Now all of us don't need to go into imprisonment, but sometimes we are imprisoned in our minds, and that mind is working to the disobedience of Allah Rabbul Izzat. And in many, many instances, there is this temptation, and we fall prey to the temptation. Friends, we just need to think about Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. He let go of his freedom, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala granted Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam, in lieu of that, Allah had given him the kingdom of Egypt. Allah Ta'ala gave him the opportunities to serve the people at the time when they needed his leadership. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave him the freedom of the country. So friends, it seems to be something that is insignificant. It's something, it's an incident, it's a story. But we need to bring this into our lives. That where is my life insofar as my chastity is concerned? Where is my life insofar as breaking the commandments of Allah Ta'ala with regards to the opposite gender? And we need to look at this in the proper perspective, that Furqan supposed to come, and we needed to move away from that disobedience of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Another example that glares in front of us is the example of the Sahaba of our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They left Makkah. Sometimes we read this, we hear about it, but the realities of it does not come into our hearts. That there is a command. You've accepted Iman, you've accepted Islam, and now the command is that leave your home. The way it is, leave your home, whatever you have on your person, on your body, you are going to migrate with that to Medina, to a destination of uncertainty. Everything is set up on the other side. But here, there's no containers that's leaving Makkah. There's no furniture that's leaving Makkah. In many instances, family, wealth, property were all left behind. But for the sake of Allah, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum made this hijrah. And what did Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant them? On the other side in Medina, again, those Sahaba, the Ansar, they also gave up, they let go half of their wealth for the sake of Allah. And what did Allah ta'ala give them? Allah gave them the sovereignty of the earth. That sacrifice that they made, one small sacrifice, Allah Ta'ala gives so much. This great sacrifice of Sahaba, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had given them the sovereignty of the world. And of course, in that, the deen of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala spread to that extent. It is narrated about Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He probably left from Makkah making hijrat as a child at the age of 10, the son of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. By the time of the Battle of the Trench, he was 15. So we take out 5 years, just around the age of 10, he made hijrat with his family and he goes to Medina Munawwara. When he would come to Makkah, Allah blessed him with such understanding that when he would pass the house as a little child that he left, it was no more in his possession. It was taken over by the then kuffar of Makkah. He would cover his eyes, not wanting to see it. In other words, there must never be this thought that, Ya Allah, this is the house I left for you. I did Allah no favor. There's actually two things that's very amazing about Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This was one that it was often narrated that when this man would walk past that house, he would cover his face, his eyes, and he would walk away from that, not wanting to see it, not wanting to even think it was a favor in the courts of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The second amazing thing, just by the way, is that whenever the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken in the presence of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would weep like he never wept before at that fond memories and that love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala ignite in our hearts also that love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So friends, that's the second aspect. The first, we need to stay steadfast, remain steadfast on whatever we did, whatever we do, and we need to leave those things that earn the disobedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or leave those things that will gain us closeness to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And the third aspect is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's invitation in the Quran Sharif, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanudkhulu fis-silmi kaffa. If we analyze this ayat, who is the call being made to? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O those who have brought iman. You've already brought iman. Udkhulu fis-silmi kaffa. Now enter Islam totally. Enter into Islam completely. This is the call from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And he tells us a lot that many of us have brought iman, but we haven't brought Islam in our lives. Or we haven't entered Islam totally. And this is the call that Allah ta'ala is making. There was one sahabi, Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was a scholar of the Yahud. And he brought iman in Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It became a thing about speaking about this, that he was amongst those few Yahud that brought iman in Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instantaneously on seeing the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that was one aspect of his. But after he brought Islam, Abdullah ibn Mubarak radiallahu ta'ala anhu's mind went to something that nobody else thought about. And this was done sincerely. That, Ya Allah, whatever your command be in the Torah, I would like to fulfill that command of the Torah, provided it is not contrary to Islam. Provided I'm not breaking the command of Islam, but I would like to abide by the Torah and the Quran, both seeking your pleasure. Both seeking your pleasure. If I just give you a quick example, the example of indulging in camel's meat. Just a simple example. In the Torah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had prohibited them from eating the camel's meat. But in Islam, if somebody doesn't eat camel's meat, it's not haram. So that's just one example. Now look at Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The gesture is a wonderful gesture. The act, sincere. Seeking the pleasure of Allah. Allah ta'ala's address, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dukhulu fis-silmi kaffa. This ayah was revealed. Abdullah, you've brought Islam. When you've brought Islam, now udkhulu fis-silmi kaffa. The Quran has abrogated all the rules of the previous kitabs. Now you will hold on to what Allah has given you in the Quran. And friends, again, for us, he was trying to fulfill a previous command of Allah in another book. Sometimes we want to practice our deen, but we want to practice it in the framework of non-Islamic activities. Sometimes we want to do things, but we want to give it a flavor of other cultures, of other people's religions. And friends, that is not what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants. So as this month of Ramadan is leaving us, friends, let us make an abundance of dua, turn to Allah and ask Allah ta'ala for that steadfastness. Allah ta'ala will surely grant it to us when we seek from Allah. Look into our lives. Are there things that we can leave only for the sake of Allah? And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will replace it with something much, much better. And have I brought Iman and Islam in the manner that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants me to bring Iman and Islam? These are the thoughts that should be going into our minds for these next few hours, the day or two that we have left. And let us try and become better Muslims, and that also only for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq and hidayat. Brothers that are in the masjid, as you're standing up for your sunnah, if you can fill the gaps in between, brothers in the courtyard can come. There are some brothers that are standing outside.